to be able to lead our thoughts and minds before communion this morning. Communion is a time where we come together and we remember Jesus. A time when we remember how Jesus lived, how he died, how he was buried, and that God raised him from the dead. In a minute, you can go ahead and turn there. We're going to look at Luke 23, verse 32 through 43. But before we do that, I want to give you a brief summary of the events leading up to the crucifixion. So Jesus had the Passover dinner with his disciples. He had the Last Supper with his disciples, and he tells them to remember him. This is how he says it. He says, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Then Jesus goes to the garden and he's praying to God, and he prays to get the cup taken away from him, but he also prays to submit to God's will. This is how he says it. He says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." And then as Jesus is praying, the Bible notes that his sweat was like drops of blood that fell to the ground due to the anguish that he was feeling over what was going to happen to him. Then Judas betrays him with a kiss. Then Peter denies him three times that he even knows him. Then Jesus is brought before Pilate, and he's brought before Herod, and he's mocked, and he's flogged, and he's beaten. All that's enough to make anyone crumble and withdraw, but not Jesus. Let's continue with the crucifixion. Let's pick up Luke 23, verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with Jesus to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified Jesus along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood there watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar. He said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. He said, "Don't you fear God?" He said, "since you're under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man did nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." I just want to paint this picture here for a minute. So being led out to be crucified, there's two other men being led out with him, two criminals. They get to the Skull, the place where the crucifixion is going to take place. And you have Jesus in the middle, and you have one criminal on the right and one criminal on the left. And Jesus, some of his last words are, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And the crowd is below as they're all three hanging on the crosses. The crowd is below and they're shouting, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers mocked him. "If you're the king of the, save yourself." And one of the criminals hung there on the cross. He hung there and he hurled insults. He used his last energy to hurl insults at Jesus. He said, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." We're going to call that criminal the hurler. The other criminal rebuked the hurler and said, don't you fear God? Since you're under that same death sentence, me and you were getting what we deserve, but this man did not a thing wrong. We're going to call that guy hopeful. And the hopeful criminal says to Jesus, remember me. Remember me. Remember me. Sounds familiar, right? Jesus said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answers hopeful. He says, truly I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. So we have the hurler hanging on the cross, using his last energy to throw those insults out, as if saying, I knew you weren't the Messiah, because if you were the Messiah, you would save yourself and save me. Then you got hopeful, hanging on the cross. And he says, remember me. And they both heard Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But I think hopeful was really paying attention and saw Jesus' heart and felt his love. And he put his stock and his faith in Jesus. You see, I think that hopeful realized Jesus was a different kind of king. Hopeful saw a king that hung on a cross for his people instead of sitting on the throne being served by the people. Hopeful saw a king that served others instead of being served. Hopeful saw a king that had a crown of thorns instead of a crown of jewels. Hopeful saw a king that laid his life down for him. A king that could conquer Satan and set him free. Hopeful saw a humble king who ruled with love and not fear. A king who was selfless and compassionate. A king he felt he could lean over to and say, remember me. Hopeful saw a king that came down from heaven to lift him up. Kings don't usually come down. Kings usually get raised up. For sure, I don't know which of those things he saw, maybe all of those things, but for sure he saw something in Jesus where he said, I'm going to put my hope in this guy. Now, this is just me talking here. I didn't read this anywhere. This is just from meditating on these scriptures, you know, for a couple weeks now. But I believe as Jesus hung in the middle of those two criminals, what he was doing was fulfilling the greatest commandment. Remember the greatest commandment in Matthew 22, 35? When a teacher of the law asked him, what's the greatest commandment? And what does he say? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first commandment. The second, Jesus said, is love your neighbor as yourself. As Jesus hung on the cross between the two criminals, with the crowd mocking him, he had the betrayals, he had been beaten, he's struggling for his last breath. What does he do? He obeys God. He prayed for the cup to be taken. God said no. So what does he do? He loves God by obeying God, by deciding and willing to be the sacrificial lamb. I think that's, it certainly took all of his heart, mind, and soul to fill that first commandment of loving God, being the sacrificial lamb. And then, if that wasn't enough, he had enough in him to love the guy who said, remember me. And he said, you'll be with me in paradise. This morning, as we remember how Jesus lived, died, was buried, and God raised him from the dead, I hope that we can feel the love, the commitment, the compassion that Jesus has for us. I hope we can get a glimpse of how God sees us. It's hard to do sometimes. I know for me, it's hard to get a glimpse of how God sees me and how much he wants a relationship with you. I hope we can lean into Jesus a little bit this morning, soak up his love, and remember him, because he'll remember you and remember what he did for us. He's a different kind of king. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are an amazing God. Your capacity to love is beyond our mind's understanding. God, it's so amazing to feel and know that you are near us when we pray. I pray that the only debt that remains for us, God, is the continuing debt to love one another as your Son loved us. Thank you for the example of Jesus showing us how to fulfill the greatest commandment of loving you and loving our neighbor. God, you tell us love never fails. Help us to be strong in our faith and hope in you so that we have the strength and courage to love others as you have loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.